Quest for Gold. I'm Ryan Burrow. We are 56 days away from the Summer Olympics in Paris. The U.S. Olympic women's water polo team was announced. 12 athletes will try to grab gold for the fourth consecutive Summer Games. And if they do, that'll mean a fourth consecutive gold for Olympic veteran Maggie Steffens. During the 2024 Olympics, American Olympic hurdler Lashinda Demus will get her gold from the 2012 Games. She finished 0.07 seconds behind her Russian opponent in the 400 meter, who later tested positive for an illegal substance. Demus is now the mother of four. She'll get that gold medal at a ceremony in Paris. The U.S. Gymnastics Championships take place this weekend, the last real significant competition for the men and women ahead of the Olympic trials in late June. Simone Biles, Suni Lee, Jordan Chiles are among those familiar names competing in Fort Worth. Gabby Douglas, the 2012 Olympic all-around champion, unfortunately had to withdraw with an ankle injury. She's actually pulled out of contention for Paris 2024. However, she is not ruling out a comeback back for LA in 2028. On the men's side, Yomel Dower, Paul Judah, and Shane Wiskus are among the early favorites. 25 men have been announced for the U.S. men's U23 soccer roster headed into the team's final training camp and match against Japan ahead of the Olympics. That roster will be whittled down to 18 before the games. On this week's Athlete Spotlight on Quest for Gold, we chat with men's indoor volleyball player Jeff Jendrick, who just a couple weeks ago was named to Team USA's Olympic squad. It'll be his first on a team loaded with experience headed into Paris.
Congratulations. You're headed to Paris. Tell me about how you found out, when you found out, where you found out.
I found out through our coaches about, I would say, 2 weeks ago. And what our coaches ended up doing was they kind of called us into their office one at a time. And it was nerve-wracking because, you know, there's a lot of us. So it took around like an hour and a half. When the coaches told me that I made it, it was an awesome feeling. All the hard work that I put into playing volleyball, for me, it really paid off when I found out that I made the team. And then, honestly, after it, I was still a little shocked, but it was really cool to call my family and to call my girlfriend and let her know that I made the team.
Yeah, that's amazing. And after the last cycle, too, right? It was a rough go. You got the other kind of announcement last time around?
Yeah, the last quad, I was the first one to be an alternate. And I was really bummed. You know, I thought I had a good chance of making it. But I think what's really important about it was I kind of just used it as motivation. You know, at first I was really sad, you know, all this hard work, I didn't make the team. You know, it took me a couple months to get back into my groove, but at the end of the day, you know, I had to use it as motivation to get out there to improve on what I needed to work on. And then for this next quad was to just go and show the coaches what I can do and how I can be a value for my teammates.
So what's different between you in 2021 and you 2024?
That's a great question. I think what's different is honestly going to be my block and my serving game. For me, blocking has always been a little bit of a struggle, and it just takes a lot of time to get it down. And I think what's really important is when we're playing against the best setters in the world, we have to be really good at just read blocking, you know, because we're going to be serving, we're going to be keeping them on a system, but we got to find ways to slow down their best attackers and get some stuffs.
Did you have much time to kind of absorb that, or are you guys back in the mindset, okay, now we're on the team, now it's Paris time? Now, you know, you didn't have much. I don't know how much time you had to actually like kind of digest everything that's happened over the last couple of weeks.
It's been honestly just straight to work. But that's kind of what we do with Team USA. You know, we're in Europe for 8 months, we come back and we have to immediately start to perform, start getting down our systems with Team USA. So we don't really have any time to waste. I know our head coach, he puts on the board how many practices left until we have the Olympics. And I think right now it's like 19 practices left in the USA gym until it's go time. So, you know, we have to really take full use of these practices, fix what we need to work on. And then when it's Olympic time, it's just go on, compete and show the world what we can do.
I don't know if we can compare it to basketball, but it seems kind of similar in that you guys are spread out all over the world, essentially. you guys come back, they create a USA volleyball dream team, if you will. I mean, how hard is it to build that chemistry in such a short period of time? I'm sure some of these teams are together for a long time.
Yeah, I think it's difficult. But what's really unique about Team USA is we're a very veteran team. Most of us, I would say almost all of us have been in the Olympics a couple times. You know, we have some guys that are four-time Olympians going into this Olympics. So we already have a really good connection with our teammates, with our setter. Right now, it's literally just honing in a couple things, and then it's just go on and compete. And we know what we need to do to beat against some of these, you know, great teams in the world, like Poland, France, Brazil.
And you play against a lot of these guys when you're out in Europe? Because you're in Germany,
right? So when we're in Europe, we're playing with these guys. These guys are on our teammates. So we start to really pick up on what are their tendencies? What do they like to do? You know, what's their favorite shot? But they also can do the same thing with us, you know? So it's always a fun little game, but it is really cool to be playing with these type of, players, because I mean, it's really cool when you're playing against them too, you know, them as a really good friend, but you also know it's compete time. You know, we got to go on and try to beat them. But it's always fun when you get a nice stuff against someone that you played against or played with. It's always a nice feeling.
How do you go about building chemistry? How does that go in the short time frame you guys have? It's just a matter of practicing together, eating together, you know, staying, you know, going out together, staying in the same hotel. Like, how do you build that chemistry?
I think the first thing of building chemistry is just watching a lot of film together and having systems together of what we do with Team USA. Our head coach, John Sproul, he loves to say we're a systems team. So whatever the system is, everyone knows it. And I think that's really important, because when we are gone for 8 months and we only have a couple of weeks to start training with each other, we need to know where everyone's going to be on the court. And these systems really help with that. So yeah, I think it's those, the systems, I think it's communicating, but also, like you mentioned, spending a lot of time together, whether that's eating lunch, you know, watching video together, hanging out outside of volleyball, all those can really build chemistry. And we also have a lot of team meetings with professionals kind of coming in and talking to us about their experience, what it takes to be a really good team. So we're doing a lot of stuff on the court, but also off the court. And I think that's why Team USA is just so solid. You know, it's really easy to play like a team when we're up by a lot, but when we're down, right, that's when a lot of teams struggle. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people start doing their own thing, but what Team USA is really good at is we're really good at sticking together. And I think that's what's going to really help us during the Olympics.
I've talked to beach volleyball, you know, and that's those pairs, and a lot of them actually come together with a sports psych. Is that something that you guys do for the indoor league, or the indoor game as well?
Yes, 100%. We have someone that comes in, sports psych, that helps us. We have some other people that come in to talk about just team leadership, what it takes to be a really good teammate. And I think that stuff's really useful, especially in these tough moments that we're going to face, right? There's going to be plenty of moments where we could be down by 6-7 points, and we have to know that we can still win this game. And honestly, I think that's what's going to be really important in this Olympic Games, because we're going to be playing against, obviously, the best teams in the world. But, you know, a lot of these other teams, I feel like when they're down, they start to, you know, it's like a domino. They start just keep going downhill. Maybe they start complaining a little bit more. Maybe they start picking on each other. And that's where Team USA is really good. We're going to just keep fighting. We're going to keep battling. Even if we're down by a lot, we're not going to be pointing fingers. We're going to be thinking about what can we do to win this game as a team.
You talked about the systems in place. Is there a difference between the American style game versus some of the stuff you've seen in Europe, or maybe Asia, Africa, some of these other continents? I mean, is there something unique about American volleyball?
That's a good question. I think
maybe stylistically, I don't know.
Yeah, I think one thing that we're really good at is just running a ton of quick big. So a lot of middle of the court. And that puts a lot of pressure on the other teams, a lot of pressure on those blockers. One thing that we've been running for the middles, at least, are these new routes, these like pop and float routes where we're jumping one location and we're flying to the left or to the right. And it's really tough to block. It puts a lot of pressure on those blockers. And I think that's what gives us kind of an advantage over these other teams, that they don't run a lot of quick and big combo.
Do you get any warm-ups then before? Are there any friendlies or tournaments you guys are in leading up to Paris?
So we'll be going to Poland, I think like a week and a half before the Olympics. And yes, we will be having some training. I believe it's with Poland and maybe another team. I'm not sure. But it's going to be awesome to go out and train with Poland. They're one of the best teams in the world. So why not go out, train against them? Obviously, we can use it a little bit to our advantage, but it's really going to help us to just get in that mode of we got to go out and compete, because it's do or die in the Olympics. You know, if you lose a couple, you're going to be done.
Well, does that, I mean, you talked about the mental strength in that. I mean, do you go in with expectations? Is there a gold or bust mentality, or are you guys just trying to, you know, take it step by step?
I think we're supposed to, I think the goal is to take it step by step. We don't want to think big picture. We want to just go on and play our best game. But obviously it would be really cool to get to that gold medal match. But you have to think about just playing each game. What Team USA is kind of known for is this single point mentality, where we're honestly just playing one point at a time. That's that next point is what really matters. If we can win that next point, all right, let's go ahead and win that next one. You know, we don't want to think big picture, because that's where you can start to lose focus in the game.
It's easier said than done in some moments, though, isn't it? Especially when 100%. You start getting down and...
Yeah, for sure. There's going to be a lot of difficult moments, but we've been training for this for a while now. Like you said, we have a lot of people coming in, helping us out, finding ways to be good teammates, stuff like that. And I think that's what's going to separate us from these other teams. And I think that's what's going to really help.
Have you been to Paris before?
Yes, we've been to Paris with Team USA. I think it was like 2 years ago. So I've been there, but it's going to be an amazing feeling to be there.
So what are you looking forward to most, maybe off the court, going to Paris?
Oh, man. Off the court, I think I would have to say just kind of meeting other athletes, being in the Olympic Village. I think it's going to be such a memory that I'm going to have for the rest of my life. I think it's going to be really cool just to meet these other players, and also watching other sports and watch the best of the best in the world playing these sports. I think it's going to be really cool.
What do you like? Swimming, basketball? What is your sport that you would want to go see? Tennis, soccer?
Honestly, I would love to watch them all. I think basketball would be really cool. Soccer would be awesome. You know, I think there's like wrestling or fencing in there. I think those would be cool. Something that I'm not usually watching, but it would be cool to just watch the best players in the world doing it, right? Like, how cool is that?
So as an alternate, did you go to Tokyo?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
You did not go to Tokyo. So, I mean, in theory, and you could talk to some of your teammates on this who did the Tokyo tour, this will be a more normal Olympics. So it's something more to look forward to, where you can have those interactions, where you can run into some of those athletes, maybe in the athlete village. So that's got to be exciting. I mean, and on top of that, you get to bring family, get to bring friends. I mean, is that something that you're really excited about?
Yeah, I'm so pumped that my family's going to be there. My girlfriend and her family's going to be there. It's gonna be really cool to experience, not just for me, but also for my family. But also, with that being said, right, it's gonna be really hyped up Olympics, because the last Olympics, no one could really go. So I'm sure there's gonna be so much attention. There's gonna also be a lot of distractions. So we got to make sure we're staying focused, even though, you know, we're gonna want to hang out with our family as much as we can. You know, we want to take photos and take pictures with everyone. At the end of the day, our goal is to win that gold medal match. So we got to be really locked in, and you know, whatever happens after that, then we can go on and enjoy and have fun and spend time with our family and friends.
Do you know if you're going to be able to participate in opening or closing or maybe both ceremonies?
I believe we're going to be, I think we're going to do both. I think we'll be there for both. I looked into it a little bit. It looks like they're going to do like the boats going through the river.
What do you think about that? It's going to be unique.
Yeah, it's going to be so unique. I think it's going to be so cool. But honestly, I'm just ready for it to happen. You know, like we still got what, like almost 2 months. So we got some time. But I'm excited for this opportunity.
All right, what is Middle Beast Academy?
So that's a great question. So I created the Middle Beast Academy for middle blockers that want to improve their game. And what it is, it's honestly, I like to refer to it as like a Netflix account for middles. So you go on that account and you just watch any clip. So maybe you're a middle that you're struggling with attacking the ball, right? So in that academy, I have a bunch of videos on attacking. So it'll be like, all right, maybe if you're trouble with your attacking, it could come down to your spacing. Maybe you're a little too tight to the net, and that's why you can't kill at a high rate. The reason why I created this academy was just because I wanted to help younger middle blockers. And the reason why I bring that up, because when I was younger, for me, the middle position was just thrown. If you were a middle, you were just thrown in that position. You didn't get a lot of coaching, and you were kind of just taught to figure it out on your own. So the reason why I created this academy is to kind of give middles more of like a way where they can start to learn more on themselves and like take control of their own learning instead of like waiting for someone to help them out, right? Because we know, or I know as a middle, we might never get someone to come up to us and help us. Our coaches, they're super busy. We can't always get one-on-one attention. So this academy is somewhere where if you're a middle and you want to get better, you watch some videos, some of the best middles in the world. You watch these clips when I break it down, and then you go out in your own practice and you work on it. So now you don't really need a coach. You just go on and do it. And it's going to kind of help you to think and play like a professional middle blocker like myself.
Is this you also kind of thinking about life after the game? Are you considering getting into that coaching world?
Yeah, 100%. I still want to keep playing professionally, but I have so much time on my hands. I think going into the coaching realm is really important. And there's not a lot of specific coaching out there. So I think I could really provide benefits to just middle blockers. I know that position really well. So why not give back to the community and help them as much as possible?
What is your nickname and how did you get it?
That's a good question. My nickname's the Jungle Cat. I got this nickname in 2017. It was my first year playing on the national team. Micah Christensen gave me this nickname, and I was playing against Syed, who's at the time one of the best middle blockers from Iran. And he runs a lot of these weird routes where he's jumping, he's flying one way or the other. And I was my first year on the national team. You know, he's one of the best middles in the world. And I played really good against him. I was blocking him all the time. And I was along the net, kind of just going like this. And Micah Christensen was like watching film. He was like, man, you're like a jungle cat. You're touching everything up and you're going like this along the net. So it kind of stuck, the jungle cat stuck with that. And I still really like it. For me, my type of how I play volleyball is super fiery. I'm quick. I'm springy. So I think the Jungle Cat fits well with how I play volleyball.
But tell me a little bit about this team. I mean, tell me some of the people who we might be wanting to watch and some of your teammates here.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a middle blocker, it's going to be awesome to watch myself, David Smith. He's a four-time Olympian, which is incredible. He's 39 years old, and he's one of the best middles in the world still. The reason why I love to bring him up is because he doesn't jump high. He doesn't jump as high as other middles, and he's not a tall middle blocker. So he, you know, if you're a middle and you're listening to this, you can still be the best middle in the world, even if you don't jump high or you're not that physical. Which I think is really cool. But I think it's going to be really cool to watch Matt Anderson, I think this will be his fourth Olympics as well. I could be wrong, but he's honestly the face of USA. He's going to be crushing a bunch of balls. And then it's going to be really cool to just watch, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, Thomas Jeske, Micah Christensen setting us amazing sets. You know, we got Eric Tsoji playing defense, one of the best liberos in the world. We got a really fierce team. We got, honestly, a lot of the best players in the world in our position on Team USA. We're going to be really deadly. So I'm just pumped to go on and play and show what Team USA can do.
It's your pregame ritual. You like to pump up or kind of calm down?
That's a great question. I go through phases. There's times where I'm a little bit tired or I need a little bit more fiery it up. I'm going to go ahead and listen to some nice house music with some good vibes on there. If I need something a little bit more slow paced, maybe I'm a little too amped, maybe a little bit too much caffeine, I'll slow it down. You know, old school hip hop or rap would be pretty nice. But in general, I just like to have a good time. Tell myself before I'm on that court, it's just like, hey, I've done all the hard work to get out here. I know what I can do. I just want to go out and play my best volleyball and also just have fun. You know, I've spent, what, now 12 years of training. Now when I'm at the Olympics, it's like, don't think, just go out and compete, you know?
Have you changed your sleeping, eating habits at all? Diet?
Honestly, not really. I mean, in college, it was not a lot of sleep. With school and everything, maybe staying up late on the weekends. Now I'm way more of a professional. I'm getting a lot more sleep. But honestly, not much has changed. But I know for the Olympics, everyone says who's gone there, it's the most stressful thing. So you got to really be good at what you need to do. You know, don't have these distractions. Just be good at what you need to do and go on and compete at the best level that you can do.
Can people find you on social media? Are you posting it much?
Yeah, so I'm posting a ton on my social media on Instagram at jjendrick21. If you're a middle blocker, follow my Instagram account. I have a bunch of videos. And that's honestly all I have a little bit on TikTok, but it's mostly on Instagram. If you have any cool videos, please send it. But yeah. Super pumped for the Olympics, and I can't wait for you all to watch. Thanks for being here.
And the U.S. Women's Indoor Olympic Volleyball Team should be named in a matter of days. That'll do it for this week's episode of Quest for Gold. Check back next week for more updates and athlete interviews as we march closer and closer to the Summer Games in Paris. I'm Ryan Burrow. We'll see you then.